I'm grateful that you're all here. As is my custom, we're going to pray before I start. Gracious God, we are thankful that you've drawn us together. We know that we are aware of our own frailty, be that our physical or emotional or mental frailty. As we come before you, we're grateful, Lord, for your strengthening, but we ask that you would comfort us, that you might draw near, that we might feel you close at hand, close to our hearts. We thank you that we are never left alone, that your Spirit is always with us, and that we need only to ask for your presence. We praise you, we honor you. In the name of God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So throughout our study this summer of the teachings of Jesus, we've learned from all four of the Gospels, each of them telling stories from their own perspective. We started in Luke chapter 6 with Jesus' teaching to love our enemies, simple in concept, but very difficult to do. We discussed the story of the unmerciful servant in the book of Matthew and the challenge of receiving mercy from God and giving it out to others. We learned about abundant life in the book of John and thought about Jesus, who is our gate, who offers us abundance in coming into safety, going out in freedom, finding pasture in community. We received the surprising teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," and wrestled with the reality of mourning as a part of our life, but never something we do alone with God. We heard the shocking statement that Jesus gives that those who are his true brother and sister and mother are in fact those who love God. And this breaks down our systems of family and creates a whole new one. And last week we talked about transfiguration and Jesus's divinity and this concept of our own transformation, just like the disciples were changed by what they had experienced. So this is our final Sunday in this rambling series this summer, highlighting specifically the teachings of Jesus. And as Christians, we're always going to focus on the teachings of Jesus, but that doesn't mean I preach out of it every week. We're doing this at the end of the series, at the end of John's gospel. Jesus is still alive in the sense that he has not yet died and been resurrected. And he's spending some time with his disciples. The section of the text that we're in this week is sometimes called the farewell prayer or the high priestly prayer, in which Jesus, in the midst of discussing with his disciples, prays for them. They're seated in the upper room, around a table, sharing a meal together. They're sitting, sort of leaned along each other in this space, not just of physical closeness, like you have with your closest friends, but also emotional closeness. They've been traveling together for 3 years under great hardship. And Jesus is in this moment pouring out to them much of his love and his grief at what is coming in these final days. Maybe you've had this happen to you before. Maybe you have some friends that you've gathered with and you are out for a meal or in someone's home. And then all of a sudden, one of them starts to really get emotional about just how great it is to get to be friends and how beautiful. And they get teary, and then everybody else gets drawn into the emotions of that space, that shared love. That's what's happening here. Jesus is sharing the love that they have experienced, and in that is offering them these final teachings. The disciples don't really get it, kind of like us pretty much always, but Jesus shares with them these reflections. So that's the scene. So we're going to read our story now, our portion of the text from John 17. We're going to do verses 1 through 8. I'm in the New Revised Standard. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and known in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. There is a lot of movement in this text, maybe not in the way that you expect, like if we were to come across a story about a party or a fight scene. The movement here is not physical, but it is this exchange, this interplay of love and truth and glory between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus says, glorify me so that I may glorify you. You gave me authority, he says to the Father, and you sent me, and I gave you glory by finishing that work. So you should glorify me because of the work I did for you, and because I had that glory before the world existed. He says, you gave me all those in the world, and I returned to them your teachings, your truth. They know and they believe now that I came from you. So we're seeing this back and forth, if you can keep track of John's language here. God who gives glory to Christ, Christ who returns it to God, Jesus who completes the work that God began, this truth distributed to the disciples, but given back and forth between the Father and the Son. In the second half of this section of the text, which we did not read, it goes into even greater detail, and it weaves this picture of a continual exchange of power and glory and truth and love. There are some who read this section of the text, and they mistakenly believe that Jesus is given power from God because Jesus is under God in the power hierarchy. But that's not what's happening if you pay attention to the text. Jesus is fully God. God the Father is not more God than Christ. And there is this reciprocal reality to the power that is shared. It's a mystical, mysterious relationship to be God, but it's demonstrated in this text. So, to understand the movement of this text better, rather than trying to sift out all the individual threads of glory and truth and love, I think it's smarter for us to try to find what's at the center of it. And I see it as being in verse 3. It reads, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus says, point blank, to have eternal life is to know me. One major reason that I wanted us to spend our preaching time this summer reflecting on Jesus' teachings is so that we could hear this verse and actually understand it. If you aren't surprised by what Jesus says here, then maybe you should read it again. It's surprising. It's intended to be. Jesus here is defining eternal life. And it isn't escaping condemnation of whatever comes at the end of all time. It isn't encircling the throne of God and singing the same refrain over into eternity. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that we're clear here. Jesus isn't a heaven denier. Jesus is not denying the existence of a place where the redeemed of God will gather together. But he is changing our expectations of that eternal life. If we imagine eternal life as this place of being fully welcomed into God's presence, fully known by God, fully knowing of God, fully loved by God, fully loving God, this place of like true jointedness with who God is, then Jesus says there is no need to wait for it. It is not something that is coming for you in the future. It begins right now. You can be fully known and fully knowing, fully loved and fully loving, fully with God, fully perfected, even right now. Surprise! If you want eternal life, you can have it. No waiting list required. If you know Jesus, if you seek to know who God is, then you have it. You have eternal life. This is important. Many people try to set up barriers between you and eternal life. Sometimes they're barriers you built yourself. But Jesus kicks those down like a child's toy that they left up and they've gone to bed and you don't even want to bother to clean it up. You just knock it over. That's what Christ does to the barriers we set up. He says, this is ridiculous. He says, you want to experience eternal life, life at its fullest, then to know me. Know God. To know is to be known. There's a mutual revealing that happens in love when we know someone else, when we seek to show them who we are. And so to learn from Jesus, to know Jesus, is to be shown all of that which is true. And it's an eternally renewing life. John's gospel often pairs the words for knowing in the Greek and loving in the Greek. And that's not surprising because they should be paired together. To know something is to love it. There's a quote, and I didn't write it down, but the statement is, love is paying attention. To desire to know about something is to love it. And I think that's some of what Christ is saying here, to know me, to desire to know me, to pay attention to what I have taught you, to live that out is to be known and to have eternal life. Eternal life, when you know Christ, starts right this very second. This final teaching that we're learning about, that we're discussing here, is beautiful, that God in Christ is eternal life. But maybe it feels a bit like it has nothing to do with us. Like it's already done, it's already dealt with, they've done it, it's set and sealed. So what is our responsibility, our role? What do we do in the face of this? Well, I think the teaching, in terms of like instruction here that Jesus is giving them, is maybe a bit more implied than it is explicit. In the middle of this long prayer portion that Jesus offers, this maze of overlapping glory and honor and praise and truth and love, there is an instruction for us to know Jesus. That is our responsibility. In order to know Jesus, we have to study and learn and listen. We have to act. We have to mirror the teachings and reality of Jesus. We apply the character of God expressed in the person of Jesus Christ every hour, every day. The teaching is to work to know who Christ is, to desire to know who God is. Our response is to know Jesus better. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not working towards a minimum threshold of knowledge before we can stamp our card to get heaven. Okay? We're also not working towards like terminal velocity in which we can just shoot off into space and then it'll keep going and we don't have to add anything. The process of knowing Christ begins when you seek it and never ends, even when you're not doing what you really wish you were or should be doing. The process of learning and knowing Christ is an ongoing endeavor, but the eternal life is found in Jesus, not in the goodness of your work to find him. It is only our responsibility that when we find ourselves failing to seek Christ, failing to know what little or much we know, that we don't ask God to redirect us. And even in that asking, the eternal life is given. Our response as believers is to know Christ. Because of Jesus' life, because of the character of God, because of what we believe to be transforming power, we listen, we learn, we follow, we demonstrate this truth.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.